Okay, so let's call the meeting back to order. Back from break, and our next agenda item is the PNB report.
And I have a, I don't know what you call it, a proposal. The down the agenda ways under new business is the bylaws amendment proposals, which is actually PNB business. And I just asked Craig to put it on the agenda because I knew we would need to review these, because if the PNB passes these things on May 7th, we need to vote on May 9th. So I think these could be spoken about and distributed by our PNB reps, and we can drop this thing of me doing bylaws. I don't need to do that. There, Margie at least is willing to include it.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
Are you proposing or making a motion to move it up the agenda? Or? No, because I don't even know if we can at this point. We already
kind of proved. There's no point to spending our time discussing the last item.
It isn't to discuss it. It was just to show people what they are.
They can look at.
All right. Okay.
I'll make it.
All right. PNB report.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. There was a PNB meeting last Thursday night, and one of the great things, I think, I can report is that we approved changing Pacifica Foundation radio name back to Pacifica Foundation. And the papers are, you know, everything's being submitted. It's not quite completely done, but it's going to happen. So, yay! All right, and then the other major thing that happened, and this was spoken about earlier in this meeting, is that Margie has resigned as of May 11th from being the IED and the LSB chair. PNB, sorry, you're right, PNB chair. And so a timeline, or so a new chair will have to be elected, and so a timeline was voted on by the PNB. Ballots will be going out on Friday, and people have already been nominated. Lydia Brazan and George Ryder have been nominated, but the nominations are still open, and ballots will be, the whole process will be completed by April 26th. And there's some other thing that might happen, but I won't even go there because, well, all right, I'm not going to mention that. So that's the bylaws, the proposed bylaws amendments are all on pacifica.org. There's been some other things that should go back on the top of the website. And so you can read the bylaws by going there and clicking on the links, and you can do that. All right, I'll stop there.
Brian?
So to add to that, May 11th is the day that our new executive director is starting. His name is John Gladney Prophet. He was for many years the head of KUHF, which is an NPR-affiliated, university-owned station in the Houston area. Had a budget when he left of about $8 million. And since he left there, he's been volunteering as both a programmer and a fundraiser with KPFT. So he has a track record of several years of caring enough about Pacifica's work to do uncompensated labor on its behalf. KPFT is our station in Houston. And he was out here looking for housing last week. I got a brief chance to talk with him. He is more familiar with the nuts and bolts of what we do than I think anyone we've had in that position in the 12 years that I've been here. He said, oh, what membership database do you use? I said, well, we use Memsys. He said, we used to use Memsys. We got off it. It was an incredible pain in the ass. So what's the transition? Here's how much it cost. Here's who I had to talk to. Here's what we found was better and why. Same thing with the accounting package and so on and so forth, CPB regs, FCC, So I think I am hopeful that we have a very good administrator coming into that position. There's two bylaws amendments up. One is a formula for reducing the size of the national board. The details are in the devil, and the devil is on Pacifica.org. The second would reduce the mandated number of meetings, the National Board is required to hold in person. And the requirement that's in our bylaws has only been observed in the breach for the past 5 years. Were we to follow our bylaws, we would be flying our 22 board members plus support staff around the country every 3 months, and we simply haven't had the money to do it. Anyway, you can check those out. We will vote on them should the PNB approve them. We are holding an in-person meeting of the Pacifica National Board. It'll be our first in almost a year and a half in Los Angeles the weekend of June 10th. It'll be a Thursday through Monday meeting. And on the finances front, because a couple people raised it, we've been getting more and more timely financial statements from the National Office, which is great. They're not, we have them through February. The ones you got for KPFA were through March. Oh, cool. We have the language of our bylaws amendments. As a whole, in the first 5 months of the fiscal year, the network is operating very close to its budget. It's shortened its bottom line by about $180,000. As a whole, the network is operating very close to its budget. It's short on its bottom line, its net income, by about $180,000. But there are vast gaps in how different parts of the network are doing. KPFA, basically without this windfall money, was already on budget almost exactly on its bottom line. So as of those February statements, we had received the first $400,000 bequest. So we were operating $400,000 better than budget. KPFK in Los Angeles in 5 months was already more than $300,000 behind its budget. And we found out they appear to have posted a more than $600,000 loss in 2014. WPFW and KPFT both seem to be operating on basically a break-even basis. WBAI is operating at a much smaller deficit than it has in the past, but still a small deficit. The National Office is outperforming its budget, and the Archives is well behind. Their fall fundraiser fell catastrophically short. One thing you should know about National Board work that impacts the conversation we had, before we knew about any of the bequest money that was coming into KPFA, we brought a recommendation from the Finance Committee that the National Board approved that said there should be coordinated national fundraising efforts to get KPFT's transmitter replaced and up to full power. They've been operating at a fraction of their licensed power because their transmitter's old and falling apart and they don't have the money to replace it. And unfortunately, the fact that their signal can't reach as far as it might is making it harder for them to raise the money to replace it. So it seemed like a suitable area for a national intervention. As part of that resolution, we said if the national fundraising fell short and there was any windfall income in the network, there should be an internal loan to KPFT to cover the balance so they can get their transmitter replaced sooner rather than later and get their fund drives back on track. So there may be a request for KPFA to loan money to KPFT for that replacement. And it would be consistent with existing National Board policy. I believe that is all that I have to report.
Margie.
I just want to add that while it is true that KPFK in Los Angeles is spending more money than they should and falling behind in fundraising, they are in an emergency fundraising this week, and they are doing something different than what they've done in the past. They are not offering much in the way of premiums. And they are being, I think, pretty honest with the listeners about their financial situation. The result is that they're raising more money than they've raised in the past, and they're, in fact, on a daily basis, they're bringing in more money than they had budgeted for. So they budgeted $100,000 for, I think, 5 or 6 days of fundraising, and they'd already raised that by the end of the third day, and so and more. And in addition to that, a number of listener supporters have come into the station and made offers of help. People have come forward and offered bequests. So it's had a very salutary effect, and I think part of it is the fact that they're not, well, anyway, I won't speculate. It's good, and you know, everybody's very pleased about that. And I just wanted to say, I wanted to echo what Brian said. I met with John Proffitt. We spent several hours together sort of starting the transition from me to him, and I think he's a thoughtful a very thoughtful person, and someone who is very well prepared for this job based on his past experience. So I look forward to having both a successful transition and having a very competent, much more competent than me, ED in place. There was this whole discussion in my office about, you know, the radio technicalities where people were using words that won't even stick in my brain. You know, they just like go in one ear and out the other. And he was totally like, he knew exactly what was going on. He was making suggestions. So I think it's great.
Thank you, Margie. I have Jack and then Joy.
So first, I want to express my appreciation to Margie for having charged into this breach and sort of pulled us back from the brink of chaos. And it's a deep, deep sense of appreciation. And I congratulate her on her wisdom and boldness in resigning the position. So that's the first thing. The second is, and I pose this to the members of the National Board from the KPFA. I find myself hearing parallel messages. I find myself hearing the message about KPFA that we may be in troubled waters this month or that month, or
we may
pass the potato chips. Pass the potato chips. Joy needs her potato chips back. And I think that Joy should get her potato chips. Okay. So I'm hearing that despite the fact that there are waves and motions at KPFA, there's also a set of deeper problems with other stations and with Pacifica as a network. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to understand that, to compute it. Because over the past year, we have heard things like Pacifica going bankrupt, losing the licenses, having to maybe sell a station, one impending catastrophe after another. And I just like to get a sense of where we are in that process and what the prognosis might be.
All right, Joy?
Excuse me.
I agree. Take a couple of questions.
Okay. So I wanted to get an update from any one of you, about the Attorney General's report or review or whatever of Pacifica.
All right. Good. Yeah, PMB folks want to answer. Go ahead.
Well, so just to be clear, there has been absolutely zero discussion at the national board level about selling a license of any of our stations. Not in closed session, not in public session, not in writing, not in the informal email exchanges, nothing. And another thing to be clear about, a nonprofit cannot be forced into bankruptcy. A nonprofit can ask for bankruptcy protection to hold its creditors at bay and go through a voluntary restructuring through the bankruptcy process, but we cannot be forced into bankruptcy the way a commercial enterprise can. And there has been zero discussion at the national board level of filing for bankruptcy protection. Mark, you'll know about the Attorney General audit.
So we submitted almost all of the documents that the Attorney General requested, except for some things that simply were not available, some minutes, committee minutes. The Attorney General sent her request, it's actually an assistant Attorney General who is also a her, sent her request to Siegel and Yee because they are on record as having defended the foundation when we were sued by the disaffected PMB members who called themselves the, I can't remember.
Pacifica Director. PDGG.
Yeah, anyway. So he, and she wanted to continue communications direct through him rather than directly with anybody associated with the foundation. Well, I think they're used to dealing with attorneys, and they think, you know, it's like a bright line sort of, you know, between someone who might have a vested interest. They spoke, and what she said to him was that she had received the materials and that she had looked over them, and nothing jumped out at her as being out of order, but that the whole package, which was enormous, I mean, you have to know, it's like 3 gigabytes or something. Somebody will tell me what that means. But it was 10 years worth of all kinds of documents.
6 years, 2010.
Oh. 2010, 6 years, I'm sorry, that's right. Anyway, that all had to go to their audit department to be reviewed. The audit department is currently involved in a number of hospital mergers that are happening in the state of California, all of which are bad for people, by the way. And the Attorney General is reviewing all of these proposals for hospital mergers, and that it would likely be 1 year before the audit committee got around to looking at the Pacifica documents. I noticed, if you look at the Attorney General's webpage, you can see that audits that were done, you know, like in 2007 were settled or reported on in 2010, you know, so that sort of gives you a picture. But there's no, you know, we don't have anything clear, but that's, and we do, we have, since we submitted the documents, we have acquired some other documents, because people who should have given them to me before didn't, and now I have them. So we will shortly submit some additional documents to her, and she has said that's fine, that she will accept additional documents filling out the rest of the request.
Okay, so I have Janet. Is there anybody else who has questions or comments on the PMB report?
Well, I want to respond. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You are in PMB. Go ahead.
Yeah. So first, Margie, was there? Did you send an email about that conversation with the agent?
Yes.
You did? Okay. I don't remember getting it. Another thing I wanted to mention about the AG audit is that between the time the documents were submitted and whenever they get around to reviewing or doing something with them, the PNB has been doing, making some decisions and doing, putting in some processes in place and other kinds of improvements that were not there at the time. So by, you know, if they come up with something, say, well, you're not doing XYZ, we can show, no, that's, you know, we've improved on that. So those kinds of things. I just also want to mention about the state of the finances. Again, well, there are a number of dependencies in order for us to know, to have certain kinds of reports, and like the audit, and then there's financial statements and other kinds of things that are dependent on the audits and the other kinds of things. And it's my understanding that that's getting caught up on, and we will soon have that information. And I, again, would like to recommend that we invite Raul Salvador to come here so that we can hear from him, the CFO, what the state of the finances are from the CFO.
All right. Is there anything else to add, Margie? Microphone, please.
I'm sorry, we didn't talk about the 2014 audit. We have hired a accountant. I don't know what letters he has after his name, but anyway, he's working full time in the office and is preparing for the 2014 audit, which we should be ready to start very shortly. The records are in much better shape, and that was the problem with the 2013 audit, was that there were no records, or the records were a mess, as one of the problems. So that is happening. And in terms of inviting Raul, I think he's quite willing to do those kinds of things, but I would urge us to be careful about we need to use his time wisely. And one of the things that's going to happen probably around the time of our next meeting, which I think is May 9th, is that right? Am I right about that? Is that he's going to go to the East Coast because they're going to be hiring business managers both at WBAI and at WPFW. Those two stations currently don't have on-site business managers. They share the business manager with the Texas station. This was a decision made a long time ago. It was a cost saving. But it really causes certain problems not to have a business manager in the building where the station is. So both of those stations will be hiring. I think they'll both be part-time positions. He will need to go to the East Coast to be involved in the training of those people. So just to be careful, because he is incredibly generous with his time, but I think we should be careful about what we ask him to do.
All right. Thank you. So, Virginia, what's that?
Sorry, I got this. Thanks. I just want to quickly say that I appreciate, Jack, what you said, and also earlier you brought this up too. I don't think we have time for a long discussion on this. I don't know how it could work, but I wish that somehow the way these meetings were formed put a lot more time for discussing things in that context. And the context, as this is a... a subcommittee of the PNB, and it does matter what's going on in that context.
Okay, so that leads us to our next agenda item, which we changed earlier today, PNB committee assignments. And Janet, I'm going to hand it to you to explain this process. This is a 30-minute piece on our agenda.
Well, it probably won't take that long, but basically at the February meeting, people on the LSB were invited to sign up for the various PNB committees, and one committee, the governance committee, three people signed up. That committee most of the committees, well, all the committees that LSB members are part of, two LSB members from each station can be members. So, and I'm not even talking about task forces, which I don't think there's a limit. But in any case, so the one committee that is still up in question is the governance committee. The three people who signed up and were nominated were Virginia Browning, Mark Hernandez, and Mal Bernstein. So we need to have an STV vote. And I am prepared to help do that. I have materials and all, and people would need to help me do it, but I, you know, so we would have to have ballots. I have papers for ballots, and the way it would work would be, so you have, there are three candidates. You can number one, your choice, your first choice, and then if you want, you list a second choice. And so number two, your second choice, you don't have to, and that choice has to be different from the first choice. And the same thing, you could do a third choice, all right? So that's what I'd like us to proceed in doing.
Burton.
I may have missed it, so I apologize. How many vacancies out there?
Two.
Thank you.
Does anybody have a marker?
There's a marker.
Okay. I will write the names of the nominees so they are visible and pin them to the board at the head of the room.
All right.
Nice one. So it's, sorry, Virginia, Mark, and who?
Mal.
Mal.
And
I'm numbering the ballots.
All right, who has thumbtacks? Oh. Write them next to each other, not on top of each other. You're ranking them.
And we're choosing two? I think Janet is.
I don't know. Does somebody else want to?
Here
we go.
We
got it.
There you go.
All right.
Do you have a vessel like a cat?
Well, let's see.
Do I have
a vessel?
Yes,
I have the vessel.
Marvelous.
Perfect vessel. There you go.
So we just use the first one.
Yeah, it's not.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, I think whoever gets this is really going to be honored and excited, just excited. You got to be careful. It's a little heady. It's a little heady because you get to be on those calls. But. What's the first question you ask when you get on the conference call? What's the very first question you ask when you get on a conference call?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, where's the mute button? What's the number from you?
Did you ever go to Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah.
There's some excellent parodies online about conference calls.
You know that? Like
yeah, yeah, that's pretty funny.
I just get their classic chicken salad sandwich.
Oh, the
teriyaki.
That's right there. Never been in there.
You don't know what you're missing.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a great place.
You know what's well known for chicken
sandwich? I have this. Yes. This is only number one.
I'm coming back here. I got the salty chocolate cookies.
Okay, I was just making the only ones that
had I had a chocolate bar there with salt in it. I had that. You know, they also make just killer bittersweet chocolate cookies.
So we have another mouth.
Wow.
Boy, are we making ourselves
You're making me hungry now.
Yeah.
It's just food more information.
Where do you get the chocolate? No, I don't.
My Poulet.
Like
sometimes they have it. They do a rotating thing with their cookies.
I haven't bought cookies here.
Yeah, of Virginia.
Mel's not here, huh? Poor thing.
Okay, so the results are, well, the threshold number of votes.
We should do this with the microphone.
Sorry.
Janet?
Yeah. Okay, so the threshold for winning a seat is 6 votes. So Virginia got 7 votes, Mal got 7 votes, and Mark got 1 vote. This is for first place. First choice, sorry. So 2 reached that threshold, so we don't have to go to the next level. So it's Virginia and Mal.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Good luck, good luck.
Congratulations.
All right.
Condolences.
Is that all for the PMB committee assignments?
Yes.
Having the election?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So next on our agenda is the CAB report. Who's doing the CAB report? All right. Yeah, please. Use that mic.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you can introduce yourself. And
please. Hi, this is Robin Collin with the Community Advisory Board. And the Community Advisory Board had a meeting with programmers and the community February 22nd at the Berkeley Library, and it was very well attended. We had 38 people, along with four LSB members. We had Joy Moore, Carol Travis, Margie Wilkinson, and Frank Sterling come, and we really want to thank you guys. We also had good turnout from the programmers. We had, at the meeting, we broke into five self-selected groups, one on police profiling and brutality and militarization, one on the use of social media and live streaming, one about local community programming and KPFA Pacifica concerns, and the last one was a group that was concerned about Berkeley development. Community members also met with individual programmers and had an opportunity to share their concerns and ideas together. One fruitful outcome of the meeting was that Philip Maldari's KPFA Sunday show on March 15th was devoted to big buildings and community preservation. The topic grew out of deep concerns expressed by the community at the February 22nd event, and the particular issue came up multiple times during the event. And in a move to address the community's concerns, the longtime Sunday show host moved forward developing a program that addressed the issue with an assortment of activist stakeholders. The panel featured Matt Vandersloos, program director of Greenbelt Alliance, David Trachtenberg, a Berkeley architect who frequently works with developers, and Kelly Hammergren, an activist and member of the Save Shattuck Cinema Group, as well as the climate change and anti-fracking issues. Their discussion and occasional sparring was followed up by Philip's regular call-in section that allowed the local community to dig more deeply into the issue. It was very well received. We also had journalist and programmer Ann Garrison attend the meeting just before leaving for Brussels to speak with the Victor Ingebert Umohosa Democracy Peace Awards, which she had won the previous year. Ann has done several local reports since the CAB meeting and her return. She noted that many listeners wanted more local reporting. She has been helping out with Richmond reporting and the Bay Area Air Quality Management District story, which was published in the San Francisco Bayview, which means it generated a headline that appears when search engines are asked to display headlines and URLs in a subject search. CAB members are now compiling and preparing a report on the feedback forms from the community members, which we received 38 of. The most common and prevalent theme and request was for more local news and programming and a program council be reinstalled. We will be prepared to present a consolidation of the feedback forms and return the actual forms to the LSB at your next meeting.
And so I just wanted to say, Ramsey mentioned, you know, the event on the 15th about people wanting workable wages. And when we have these kind of events, one of the things that keeps coming up over and over in the community, how does the station respond when we know, oh, there's going to be 5,000 people coming from all over Northern California to gather, and how do we respond? So the CAB members have been working also CAB page for the new website and giving information for that. There's also been suggestions that programmers have the possibility of posting articles with headlines from programs on the website, as is done with Democracy Now! And other programs. We've gotten feedback from community members requesting that the KPFA program archives be labeled. People feel that they are such a treasure, and a woman came up to me at one of the KPFA events and said, oh, there are so many really important speeches and interviews that need to be kept, and how do we do that? And how do we do it in a way that it can be accessed by a Google search? So maybe that's something that we can tap into volunteers to work with or find other resources. Volunteers have also requested clarification of the process to become members of KPFA after 3 hours of work based on the PNB regulations. Right now, the only process in place seems to be that during elections, names from the sign-in sheets in the phone room, which people may or may not use to sign in, are used to identify possible volunteer members and then allowing them to vote. Apparently, there's no posting about that process in the phone room, and other volunteers are not included in this station voting process. So it seems like we need more coordination of the resources that volunteers can offer. Lastly, the CAB has some openings for members on the Community Advisory Board. We have possibility, Robin's offered to do a CART, and we have some nomination forms from people from KPFA events who have self-nominated for the CAB, and some of us have completed a term of 2 years and are applying to continue. So any questions?
Thank you. Well, Virginia, Andrea, you have to answer.
It's not a question. I just want to really appreciate your incredible work and all the people who serve on the CAB. It's one of the really, really bright spots as far as I can see, just the energy and the way you guys are moving through and the way that you're living into your mission and really trying to survey and understand what the community needs and to be so faithful in bringing it to the LSB. I really, really just want everybody out there in Radio Land to know that there are people working really hard and as volunteers, and I hope other people will step up and understand that that's an opportunity for them as well. But super big thanks, guys. All of you, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Andrea. Next up is the KFCF report.
He's not here.
Okay. So we'll move on to now to old business. And first up on old business is local news coverage, then followed by news coverage protocols and policies, and LSB subcommittees. Andrea?
So many months ago, I put this item on the agenda, and in fact, I have a proposal that I emailed out today. Those of you with access online have a copy of it. I don't have I only have the one printed copy. I wasn't able to make copies in time for this meeting. And I'm fine to have the actual resolution be discussed and brought up at the next meeting. But I think it's worthwhile for us to discuss the topic of local news. What can I say? The local station board, one of our missions is to make sure that the community, that the program that we offer includes the community and is in conversation with the community. And in my little neck of the woods, I'm hearing a lot of people really concerned about wanting to hear local programming, wanting to hear local news. That Berkeley is not a tiny city, it's not an irrelevant city, and that there's a ton of stories happening, and that we just want to see that reflected in the news that we listen to. So while there's been some, you know, it's kind of hit and miss, and I guess what, I don't want to micromanage, I don't want to prescribe programming, but I do, in a general way, want to make sure that local issues are represented in the news, and that our local community, I know we serve many communities. We serve, you know, an LGBT community, and we serve various communities of color and the women's community. But I also think that there's a geographic reality of where we are. And when, you know, it's become really clear when people try to identify what programs they could tune into to get local news and information, it's not really clear. So Berkeley, Oakland, San Francisco, North Bay and South Bay is where we're supposed to be in communication with. So I am forwarding, actually, Carol Wolfie created a program, you know, in her work with the CAB, she has listened to a lot of people describe their desires. And so she synthesized these into a proposal, and I helped to kind of organize and rephrase a bit of it, but the bulk of it is Carol's work. And if I can go ahead and read it, if that's helpful. If people want to discuss it, I don't recommend that we vote on it. I'm not in a hurry for this. But, Mr. Chair, if you want me to go ahead and do that, I would do that. To go ahead and read the proposal? Yeah, but I don't think everybody has it electronically.
How
long is it? 2 pages.
It's this. I think because I'm in favor of going ahead and reading it. I just do want to point out we had a lot of 20 minutes, but are we anticipating?
I would recommend that we just put it into the record and then we discuss it later.
Okay.
So that people have time to amend it and think of ways that they want to weigh into it.
Should I anticipate a motion today on this?
No. She's saying we'll discuss
about
next time.
Okay, gotcha. Thank
but,
you.
But Go I'd like ahead. To ask the members and the body to consider Excellent. It so that we can have a robust conversation next time.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, please.
So this is called Towards Improving Local Community News and Public Affairs. This is the action item. The LSB asks that KPFA general manager and staff work with community members to develop a coordinated stationwide plan for providing local news and public affairs program in alignment with KPFA's mission to cover local events and topics with the depth, insight, and broad signal range that no other station can do. This plan may include exploration of possibilities, too, so far be it from us to prescribe. Number one, organize an electronic bulletin board to share and utilize news and public affairs information resources from the KPFA community, local organizations, and the public. Number two, establish a list of people involved with social justice, political, economic, and environmental issues from our local geographic areas who we can invite to contribute to local news and public affairs programs as citizen journalists. Number three, expand recruitment and training of program interns for news and public affairs. Articulate requirements for becoming an intern and make these requirements broadly known and available on our website so that volunteer outreachers can assist in finding volunteers. I hope that's clear. Number four, develop and communicate a system for programmers to be able to receive and use recorded segments from community members for news and public affairs programs. Number five, utilize Twitter, Facebook, and live stream channels to get up-to-the-minute information for news and public affairs programs. Another aspect is coordinate a stationwide system for providing local news and public affairs programming. So number six would be create daily programs or parts of programs that focus primarily on local community news and public affairs at predictable and regular times during the work week. Number seven, coordinate KPFA program in relation to topics to avoid repetition from one program to the next. Number eight, increase programming that includes listener phone-in time. Number nine, develop a protocol that clarifies when and how to cover breaking news in our signal range and to preempt programming in significant and emergency situations. Number 10, expand use of video channel and live streaming channel to cover local news and public affairs and cultural events. The third aspect is communicate regularly with listeners and viewers about local news and public affairs. So item 11 would be develop outreach materials to let people know about station coverage of local news and public affairs programs and feature it on the website, the video channel, Twitter, and Facebook. Include information about all the station resources, including KPFA, KPFB, KPFA video channel, KPFA Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and KPFA.org with program archives. Number 12, post written local news and public affairs stories on the KPFA website so that they can be accessed through computer searches. And number 13, increase, through training and recruitment of volunteers, our capacity to provide responses to emails and calls that are received at the station. So I know that these are certainly not new. Some of them, we're trying to lend some emphasis, we're trying to articulate it, we're trying to create a direction for us to go in. So that's what we have, and I hope people will add to that list or modify it in ways that increase, that decreases the need for people in this signal area to turn to other channels and TV sources and internet sources to get the news that they really want to hear through KPFA.
All right. Any questions, comments? Virginia, and I want to put myself on the list. Go ahead, Virginia.
I do note that quite a bit of this is already being done, perhaps not in such a coordinated policy way, which is, I like, you know, just having seen this for the first time, I'm thinking, you know, maybe Laura Privis or others already have something that they're doing that has elements of this in it. But I like that this was so well thought out and so many things covered. And what I would like to, I don't know if it's adding or just emphasizing within this, I think we have some extremely talented people now on the air that, Brian on the board here, I listen to your show and I think sometimes, I know that you and others do have local segments. And I appreciate your talent and many others. What I wish is that something about the training part of the interns would be emphasized as a more understood and coordinated policy, like clear guidelines. I think you have something like that in here. I think there needs to be and I know the apprenticeship program has some of that too. I don't know, something about the way that really talented, experienced, usually paid, sometimes unpaid, staff who are extremely good can see a lot of their role as being training and really supporting people from communities. I'd like to see that kind of emphasized in this.
Okay. I have myself on the list, and then you, Brian. I like the ideas put forth in here, and honestly, I really appreciate seeing that there are folks putting an effort into trying to get more local news coverage, or at least try to, I don't know, maybe, and this is coming from a perspective as a listener, right, who over the years, as I've gotten older, I actually have taken more interest in local news than I have in national and international. And it's you know, kind of one of the reasons why for my own job schedule and everything, I don't get up early anymore because I have late meetings with the union and everything. So like by the time I get up, it's like first thing I can maybe listen to is national news with Amy Goodman, right? And oftentimes I tune away to find, you know, local news somewhere else, right? Because that's becoming more important to me. So I would love to see more of, if not implementation, because I do feel there is a lot of implementation of coverage of local news on the station, at least some idea of how it can be relayed to the public, you know, how we can organize local news coverage more, right? And because I think that's important. I think there are other places who are trying, like being from San Francisco, first of all, right? There's a lot of local news that I feel don't make it to KPFA that I see other, like, local media outlets, you know, covering it a lot, right? I mean, it's the biggest city in this, you know, after San Jose, right? San Jose would be another one that I'd love to hear more from because it is the biggest city. It has a huge impact in the whole rest of the Bay Area. And I'd love to see how KPFA can do more, right? And I think this is at least directing, you know, our station to figure out how to be able to implement more local news. And I really appreciate that initiative. You know, and again, you know, in San Francisco, personally, I would love to see more of the coverage there because there are a lot of news. And just availability, right? Like, how can we let listeners know where and how to find local news through KPFA, right? Because if it's limited to just, like, thinking that it's in the morning, you know, 7 to 8 a.m., you know, it's really hard to get a lot of people to listen that early, right? Or if it's at 6 p.m., when folks like me are usually working at that time, I'm not going to be able to tune in, right? There's got to be other times, I think, that we should be able to access local news throughout the program. So I think there's a lot to looking into this. So I appreciate the initiative, Andrea, and other folks who put this out. Brian?
Well, I would just encourage people to think about two things going into our discussion next month. So the first is how we want to define local news. And I think there are competing definitions here. I know Andrea has a strong interest in more coverage of Berkeley specifically. It's about 110,000 people out of 8 million that are Signal reaches. I've heard Janet speak up for more Oakland coverage, Ramsey speak up for more San Francisco coverage. If Frank were here, he'd probably be speaking up for more Antioch coverage. Well, that's not a joke. We do a really, really lousy job of covering the exurban areas of our Signal area, which is where the population growth is and where some of the most egregious social injustices in our Signal area occur. That ask you to think about how, when local coverage means one particular city, how it is that we make it interesting to the people who don't live there but do tune into our radio station. And the third thing I would encourage folks to think about is what we as a board are prepared to do to back up those priorities with resources. Because our local coverage shrank when our morning show was cut from 2 hours to 1 hour. It shrank when our news department was cut to such an extent that we had to merge operations with Los Angeles to stay on the air and lost salaried reporters who'd been producing local stories. I agree. I mean, I want to do everything that's on this list. And I also want us to be clear about what we're asking for when we say local and what we're prepared to do to make it happen.
Okay, I have Andrea, Burton, and then Burton.
Let the other people.
Janet. Okay, so we'll go to people who haven't spoken. So Burton, Janet. And we are on 3-minute comments. So
just as a request for next discussion, I would appreciate a clear understanding of the meaning of community, because I heard within that proposal both geographic and various type of social or other types of communities. And I think we need to know what we're talking about when we use that word, which can have so many meanings.